because I'm sharing today on the Holy Spirit, and you know, it's really near and dear to my heart, hugely. And if you could see my room right now, there's books all over the place, and I've been doing quite a lot of praying and seeking the Lord. And yesterday at 1 o'clock, I felt the Lord sort of sneak up on me, and I wrote down what I felt was a prophetic word. It was a word for me personally. I'm not going to share that with you. But this is the part that I thought was actually quite cool and fitting for today. My desire is to let you know me and for you to let me know you. This is speaking to the church. Yes, even though I do know you, I want you to be free to allow me to do this. My love is so vast, so rich, full and deep. Keep running into me. And yes, diving into my boundless, measureless love and grace. I have given you my precious Holy Spirit, just as my Son asked me to do. And He, capital He, is here, near, and in you to help you. You can ask Him anything, and He will be there to help you. Don't try to do things on your own, because it's too hard. This is why you must keep asking my Spirit to come upon you, to enrich, to enable you to do that which I have called you to do. Always function out of my presence, not out of the world or Western thinking, Western mind thinking. It is by my Spirit who will lead you into my presence, a place of rest, a place of shalom, and this is a place of clear thinking and rich love. This is my desire for you, people, even as you prepare your heart and mind. This is my desire for you. Today we continue our study or our journey on the book of Acts. James has, and several others have referred to this over recent weeks. James last week referred to the book, or to several things actually, but he particularly highlighted the fact that the Holy Spirit comes in power. It says, or dynamis. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Then he told them to wait. He said, stay still. Wait, and in verse 4 and 5, he said, wait until you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. This would empower them to go out to do that which he had instructed them to do. Luke also references this in Luke 24:49. You know, Dr. Luke actually wrote the book of Luke, obviously, but he also wrote the book of Acts. It was the same thing, really, but I quite like the way that he puts it. He said, wait, that's cool. Wait means wait. I think the Greek means wait. It means stand still, don't do anything, wait. And be clothed with power from on high after Jesus had gone to his Father to ask him to send what the promise was. And the promise was the Holy Spirit. He promised that. So who is the Holy Spirit? Now, this is the thing that I've been sort of thinking about. We've heard a lot. In fact, I was brought up in a Baptist environment initially and an Open Brethren environment and a few other environments, but I never heard a lot about the Holy Spirit, to be honest. I heard, and even in those churches, I didn't hear about the baptism of the Spirit. It was never talked about. Today, you do hear about the baptism of the Spirit. Today, you hear about being filled with the Spirit. But I haven't heard a lot of teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit. As I said, we hear a lot about being baptized, being filled, but not about the personality of the Spirit. So what do we know from Scripture about the Holy Spirit? The point that I've come across as I've been reading this and studying this is that he is a separate personality. He's part of the Trinity, and next week Marilyn's going to be talking to us about that, putting some theology behind that. But he's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, in John 14, 16, this is what it says. I'm going to read from John 14, 16. If I can find it. Here it is. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, he lives with you, and will be in you. But he says there, another counselor. I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another counselor. So it's very, very clear to me from that and other passages, similar scriptures there, that there is another counselor. When Jesus was alive, walking with the disciples, he was their counselor. He was their advisor. He was their teacher. He did that for 3 years with them. But he's saying there is another one coming, and another one is going to be like me. Not the same, but like me. So we have a separate personality here. He has emotions, love, carries the Father's love, power, and he is with us. He comes into us, and he comes upon us. Very interesting that the Holy Spirit existed right at the start of creation. And if you read in Genesis chapter 1, you'll see there that it talks about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's called by different names, but he's also referred to as Ruach. Ruach means pneumatic. You know what I mean? Does it? Do you know that? That's what it means. Breath, wind, pneumatic. That's where the pneumatic comes, word pneumatic comes from. But as you read in Genesis, it talks about the Holy Spirit hovering over the water. It hovering over the universe and it actually over the planet. And it was the Holy Spirit that was with the Father that actually shook the planet into being. So it's referred to as Ruach. Ruach, and Ruach is actually mentioned three different times in the scripture in the Old Testament. I think I've got that right. And it's the state of Ruach kind of means it means hovering, it means fluttering. It's also likened to a mother hen, fluttering or protecting its chicks. But that's what was taking. I could talk quite a lot about that. But that's what was taking place right at the start. That the Holy Spirit was there with the Father, with the Son, and hovering over the earth, and it brought it into being. So he existed way back. So here's a separate personality. And I'll put that over there. Let's go back that in a few seconds. So I've narrowed down what I've been reading to three things. Obviously, he is with us, he comes into us, and he comes upon us. John 14, 17 basically said that, and we've just read that. The Holy Spirit actually comes alongside of us. He comes as our helper, our intercessor, our comforter, our advocate. And an advocate is like you've employed a lawyer to act on your behalf. That's what it kind of means there. I'm sure you know that. But we've got a job to do, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us to enable us to do that task. He doesn't intend for us to do this thing on our own. If we read Romans 8:26, by the way, it tells us there that if we are his, then the Holy Spirit resides in us. So as born-again believers, we have the Holy Spirit within us. Just wanted to reference that. We've actually been designed to have the Holy Spirit living within us. We've been designed to live with the Spirit, and we've been designed to have him living with us. In order for us to fulfill that which the Father has asked us to do, and we're all different. Everyone here has got a task to do. And I was just thinking about this as I was walking down the hill this morning, whether you're working as a consulting engineer, if you're working for MAF, you're working for a government department, whatever, it doesn't really matter. That is the call on your life. And that is not your job in a sense, it's his job. And he gives you the resources to do that job. And that resource, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. We were singing about that this morning. We've been designed to have the Holy Spirit within us. In fact, I'd go as far as saying that in order for us to fulfill that which we've been created for, we need to have the Holy Spirit working within us. We need to be aware of him. The other beautiful thing is about the Holy Spirit, and I could spend the whole morning talking about this, is the Holy Spirit brings us into the Father's presence. And I've mentioned this many, many times, that this is something that's very, very close to me. So on a daily basis, I invite the Holy Spirit to come and draw me into the Father's presence, because it's like he prepares this place. It's what he does beautifully. It's like he sweeps the mat, he prepares this place. I sit down there, or I'm kneeling down or sitting down, whatever state you find yourself in, and I invite the Holy Spirit to come, and I just say, Holy Spirit, would you please come and prepare this place, because I want to be drawn into the Father's presence. I want him to lavish his love on me today. It's a new day. 1st of May, it's a new day. And I did that this morning. I believe that we need to be a lot more dependent on and aware of functioning out of his presence. So we've been designed to do that. He is in us. Well, as I mentioned before, in Romans 8, 9, it talks about that too, don't it? Romans 8, 9. Let's just check that. Oops, I've already referred to that, I think. I won't look it up. You can look it up. We have the Holy Spirit as a result of us being born again. We are a unique people. I think that's the point I want to make here. We are unique. We are, I think Paul says this, that we are aliens to the world. We see things that other people cannot see. And I think it's a bit like, I don't know if you've ever done any fishing or hunting, but it's a bit like a fisherman. A fisherman goes out, and a fisherman can actually spot, they can actually just look at the lake or look at a stream, whatever, and they can actually sense or see something there. They can see where perhaps a trout, blue trout, whatever, green trout, rainbow trout, colored trout. They can actually sense that. And I think really that's what the Father wants for us as well, that we see things and sense things that people of the world don't see. And that actually makes us unique. And I think, you know, I think we can learn to do this. I think often we don't do it and we just carry on in our regular day without looking. We need to start to look and sense and see through his eyes. And I think that analogy with the fishermen is probably not a bad one, because I've actually been out with fishermen and they say, oh, see that? And I say, no, I didn't. You see, the trained eye can see it. And I think we need to learn to train our eyes. So we are unique. We see, and that's what the word says, we see things that the world cannot see. I'm just trying to find that passage of scripture that refers to that. I can't see it. John 14, 17. Let's just see what that says. I'll read it out. Yeah, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth comes. That's the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And he's talking about when the Holy Spirit comes, the day of Pentecost. As born-again believers, he's really called us to walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit. And I think the other thing about the Holy Spirit is his mission is to make us holy. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. But that's a process. Some of us don't like to be put into that process. John Wesley actually talks about worldliness. And the Holy Spirit tries to get almost the world out of us, okay? That's what he says. He said, worldliness is that which calls our affection towards God. So anything that's calling our affection towards him, he's saying it's worldliness. When the Holy Spirit resides in us, we become sensitive to negative stuff. Our lives should be displaying, I believe this is true, our lives should be displaying the good news. We are conduits of his love and his grace, and we are representers of Christ on this earth. In your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family, we present Jesus in that place. But we don't do it on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that works through us. And I've been in many situations where, when there's been tense situations in the workplace, and I have felt tense. I've come out of those places thinking, gosh, what's been going on there? People have come up to me and they've said to me later, how come you were so at ease and so at rest during that? You don't seem to get uptight when all of us, the rest of us, are uptight. And I thought, well, that's what they see in me. But they're not seeing me. They're seeing and sensing, I believe, the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not feeling that. But that's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, through us, influences people around us. So we are conduits of his love. He wants our whole being. He wants our emotions. He wants our thoughts. He wants our time. He wants our bodies. And Romans 12 talks about that, about presenting our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. He wants to come and reside and dwell in us and have the total freedom to function in the way that that he desires, because he's making us daily into the likeness of Jesus. He's the greatest transformer. He transforms us. He is an incredible transformer. But he is the transformer. Hey, that's what he does. We have the kingdom. We have kingdom DNA within us. We, as almost as aliens, and we've been designed to be totally linked with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I just reading this morning. I'll just read this out. The God of all hope fill you with peace and joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here we talk about peace and joy. Kind of, we accept those as simple things, but we need the power of the Spirit on occasions, for me, on many occasions, to release that joy, because he's battling against things that we do not see. The God of all peace. Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. So he's in us. The next thing is he comes upon us, and this is what we read in Acts last week, and I'm just going to go and find you that again. See, Jesus knew that when he was going away, that the disciples would be sad. So he spent quite a lot of time preparing them and advising them that there was another helper coming to enable them to do things, as he said, his words, greater than what he did. Now, I haven't raised too many people from the dead recently. We talked about that last week. But greater? But that's what he said. He said, you're better off, you're actually better off when I go to the Father and ask the Father to send my Spirit down to come upon you, to be with you, to fall upon you, to empower you. You're better off while I'm up there with the Father interceding on your behalf. You're better off that I go and the Holy Spirit comes down here and fills you and empowers you to do that which I've called you to do. Pretty cool, eh? I can't get my head around it totally, but that's what he does. Another helper. Another helper. For me, time and time and time again, the Holy Spirit comes. Is what it says down here. Day of Pentecost. First, I'll just read verse 8 just to Jesus said, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the other ends of the earth. He actually knew that the task that was before us for them was impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit within them. And where the Holy Spirit is, there's power. There's evidence of power. And this is what happened. Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound of a blowing of a violent wind. We shouldn't be surprised about that because we know that the Holy Spirit's kind of pneumatic. In fact, I'd probably call the Holy Spirit pneumatic rather than charismatic. You hear the term charismatic? I like the word pneumatic, okay? Because that gives me a bit of a buzz, actually. So he's blowing, a violent wind came from heaven. Well, I mean, where the Holy Spirit is, there's got to be power. You know, I know he moves in different ways. I know that he does, and I've seen that and experienced that. But there's got to be evidence. He's incredibly powerful. The fact that he can almost adjust his computer, whatever, to come and rest on us and fill us when he helped the universe to be, the universe, but certainly this planet to be formed, just blows my mind. But it's almost like he had to detune it when he's dealing with me. Otherwise, I would probably blow apart. So we shouldn't be surprised. So I think they were surprised. The whole house was filled with this violent wind. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and the Spirit enabled them. And there's a whole lot of things that happen. So very, very clearly, the dynamis power of the Holy Spirit was evident there. And you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Wow. You know, as I said before, the Holy Spirit's got to be the greatest transformer there is. I've got to repeat this. Look, the point is this, that we cannot function and do what he's called us to do without the Holy Spirit enabling and empowering us. If I've learned anything in my life, I've certainly learned that one. You know, some of the experiences that I've had, and then I'll try and bring this thing to rest. I could spend hours talking about this. In 1978, I had been working with a campus life program, Youth for Christ campus life program, and it took a lot of our time. I think during that time, I think we had two kids and two mortgages and one old car. And every week we'd go out to work with these kids in tow. I had about 80 pretty much non-Christian kids in my club. And it was hard work, but it was great work. But I just got to a stage where we stopped doing that work with these kids. And I was going through a phase where I felt my life was kind of, how can I describe it? It felt dry. Now, I had not experienced the baptism of the Spirit because, as I said before, I didn't even know the word. Didn't even know that word existed. I knew about the Holy Spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit was in me, but I didn't know about the baptism. I'd heard little words to a point where you need to be careful of these people because da-da-da-da-da. But I'd never, ever heard anything more than that. I remember talking to my dad once, who was a relatively new Christian, actually, and I said to Dad, I just feel really dry and barren. He said, son, you really need to know the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's cool. So when I came back from my holiday, I started to look for some information about the Holy Spirit. I ended up with a little booklet put out by Campus Crusades, and I think it was called something like Be Filled with the Spirit. And I read this little booklet and thought, okay, I don't quite know what that means, but I do need that. But I don't want to become weird. So I had these little arguments with the Lord. So at night, often when Chris was to bed, I'd be sitting in my lounge with a little stool there, and I'd be saying to the Lord, Lord, I know that I need you. I know that I need the power of your Spirit in my life. It's like the Holy Spirit was walking around in this room in my life. This is my take on it. He's walking around doing this stuff, and I had never, ever welcomed him. I'd never said, Holy Spirit, would you please come and invade every room in my life? Well, I finally got to a point when I read Galatians 3:5, where it actually talks about having begun in the Spirit, I think I've written this down because it's actually quite cool. This is my interpretation of it. He said, in the Living Bible, it said, I ask you again, does God give you the power of the Holy Spirit and work miracles amongst you as a result of you trying to obey the Jewish laws? No, of course not. It's when you believe and fully trust him. And I thought to myself, well, I do believe in him. I do believe in him, but I don't fully trust him. Because I was basically saying, Lord, I want to experience you. I want to experience your spirit within me, but I might speak in a language. I might become really, really weird, and I'm already weird enough. I don't want that. You know, that honestly, that's what I was trying to figure out. I had nobody to go and talk to about this stuff. They would have thought I was really weird. I finally got to a point almost of desperation. I still can see it this day in a little cottage up in Nio where I was sitting down on this little stool, milking stool, and I was kneeling down and said, Holy Spirit, just come. I'm giving you full permission and I'm trusting you to come and invade every area of my life. And he came. He came. People, he came. And I just, what happened? What happened, Martin? I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with him like I've never been in love with him. And it has never, ever gone away. I fell in love with him. And I wept. And the next day, Chrissy probably thought I was really weird. Because I was acting strange, I think. But she saw something in me. I still didn't know what had happened to me. But I knew that I'd been zapped in the Holy Spirit. That's what I call it, zapped, because I didn't know about the term baptism. One day I was doing the dishes. The next minute I'm crying. I'm weeping. I thought, what on earth am I doing this for? And the Lord was saying, I want you to intercede for the little church that you used to go to back in Gisborne. So I did. I just started praying for them. Then a dear friend of mine, my brother-in-law, I told him what was happening in my life. And he gave me a book called Baptized in the Spirit by Derek Prince. And as I was reading through this book, Derek highlighted the fact that speaking in tongues is great. I didn't speak in tongues then. But he said it's not the only result of being baptized in the Spirit. There are other things. For me, and he said this in the book, just describe my situation perfectly. Weeping, joy, other things can also be an indicator. But I hungered for the for tongues, and it came later on. It's another story, but wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. It's been zapped by the Spirit of God. And what this did to me is it exploded something within me in the whole realm of worship. And I'm still on that journey, worship, prophetic worship. I love worship. If you're part of this church, worship is a fundamental of what we're about. It's part of what Vineyard's all about. And there are times and occasions when the worship leader will lead us in a whole prophetic realm. And I'm saying don't turn off, because that's God speaking. Just embrace it. It's another gift, a beautiful gift to the church. And not all the churches have that. Not all churches have prophetic worshipers. They have worshipers, but not a lot of churches have worship, prophetic worshipers. In 1992, I won't go there, just to say that in 1992, we were led by the Holy Spirit to go to the Vineyard School of Ministry in the States, and there's a whole story behind that. But 1994 is an interesting year. End of 1992, at the ranch, I was crying out for the Lord to show us what the next step for our life was. And the Lord said, I want you to go back to the church that you're in. We're going to the Elam Church in Wellington at that stage. Love that church, still love it. And I want you to go and serve in that church for another 2 years. And then I'm going to open up the doors of opportunity for you. Then I'll reveal what the next step is. In 1990, going back a notch, I had an accident. I had 5 broken ribs through that, and I was on the way to hospital in the ambulance. I couldn't talk about this for a long time. James came in the ambulance with me. Because you wanted to be a doctor, right? So he was in the ambulance, and I was on oxygen. The Lord said to me very clearly, I want you involved with the vineyard. Now, we knew nothing about the vineyard except what we'd read. And we had visited there way in 86. I want you involved with the vineyard, and I'm going to heal you. What I didn't know is that the healing process was going to take 40 days, and that's a huge story behind that. But the interesting thing is that we were required to wait for 2 years. In 1994, right out of the blue, somebody sent us a youth home group in our home. 1994, somebody sent to us, I don't know where it came from, somebody, something, who knows. It was, anyway, from American Express. We ended up with a free ticket, return ticket to the United States on condition that we purchased a ticket. And, of course, at that stage, there were things happening in Toronto, which we kind of experienced a little bit in our home group. And Matt knows about that. I see him down the back there. And we'd already experienced the Holy Spirit moving in our home group. And, anyway, we ended up in the United States. And I'm just going to share a couple of things because it's quite interesting. I'm sharing these stories because this is the way the Lord dealt with me. The way the Lord deals with you in the whole realm of the Spirit is very personal. So what he does with me will be entirely different the way that he does. Might be the same, but he deals with us in a unique way because we are unique creatures. I feel like having a good shake here now, but I won't. Feel at home doing that. Anyway, but what actually happened is we'd experienced the Holy Spirit in our home group a couple of days before we went on this trip. And the very interesting thing is that the guys in the home group had prophetic words over us, which I've written down, and those words are still coming to pass. And part of that was actually what was going to happen. We're in the States. We went to a little church called St. Louis Obispo on the coast, which is south of Los Angeles. And we were invited to this meeting, to the church meeting, obviously. And the Sunday morning, the pastor got up to start to speak. And in the end, he just couldn't speak. He said, look, I don't know what's going on here. The Holy Spirit is clearly here. I've got to step back from this. So they moved the seats back. And he just said, and Marty and Chrissy, feel free. You can go around and pray for people. And in my mind, I'm saying to myself, look, the Holy Spirit's here. I don't really feel like praying for people. I want the Holy Spirit to visit me. But I don't want anybody to touch me. Nope, no touching. Because I didn't want to think back to that stage where I felt that somebody had touched me or even pushed me over. I said, I don't want anybody to touch me. This guy came up to me and he just stood about a meter or so away from me. He said, would you like to be prayed for? And I said, yes, I would. He said, would you like to experience the Holy Spirit? I said, absolutely. And that's all he said. The next minute, I went flying backwards, and I was on the floor for about 2 hours. And I couldn't move. Now, that was just the start. That was just the start. So, scraped off the floor, went on up to Oakland, and then somebody had booked us into a conference called Let the Fire Fall Conference in Anaheim. There were about 3,500 people there at this conference, and they had John Anott, and they had Randy Clark, and some of these guys, Wimber was there, I mean, some of these guys that were experiencing the power and the dimensions of the Holy Spirit during this season. All I'm going to say is this, that we were there for about 5 days. I would have spent probably, I've documented this somewhere, we'll go in my book one day, but I documented it. I spent probably most of the time on the floor during that time. And all sorts of strange manifestations. I was on one occasion roaring. Like, I mean, honestly, just roaring. It's like this roar rising up out of me and prophesying. So it was like attention, but it was prophesying things. I thought, what is going on? I remember on one occasion, there was one little Asian girl just sitting there watching me while I was on the floor. While on that occasion, when I was on the floor, hands out, I couldn't move. It actually felt like my body had been put into a vacuum pack and all the air had been sucked out of me. I really thought I was going to die, but I said to the Lord, would you just increase what you're doing? Because I actually want more. I don't want to come out of this place with me. I want to come out of this place with you. And looking back on it, I could feel him putting things in my hand. I had no idea what it was. Hammers, nails, they were tools for building his church. And then a short time later, a couple of years later, a year later, planting this church. So I'm telling you those stories because for me, that's where he seems to want me, is on the floor. So he can actually almost, my mind gets in the way of things and he's trying to offend my mind. And I'm giving him the permission to do that. And just one other little experience, and I'll just wrap it up. On the 22nd of September 2006, I experienced something special and something new, and it's to do with His presence. And as I described before, for the first time, I realized that one of the functions of the Spirit was to bring me into His presence. And I talked about that a while ago. So that was 22nd of September 2006. It's interesting that Benny Hinn talks about this next move of the Holy Spirit, which I believe we're into right now. I think there are things happening. And what he says is a rather beautiful thing. He just said that he believes that it'll be marked by the presence of God, that people and pastors and leaders that don't know what it is to come into His presence will not necessarily be leading it. I just love what he says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that is not only His predominant title, but also a power-packed definition of who and what He is. He is holy, not defiled or common, but possessing all of the purity and holiness of God. He is also spirit, not flesh, as humans are, not having a physical body, but sharing the very invisible nature and essence of God. The Holy Spirit can take an ordinary hotel room and transform it into a cathedral, sacred cathedral, by His very presence. He can take a massive arena or stadium designed for sporting events and transform it into the holiest of holies and a place where God's presence resides and is manifested. Indeed, that is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, to grace earthly people and places with the glorious presence of God's holiness. And when that happens, time stands still. And that's been my experience, even yesterday, that the Father can just come in and He can take hold of a couple of minutes. That's all, just a couple of minutes. And it feels like you've been in His presence for a couple of hours. People, that's the access that we have to the Holy Spirit. Power comes out of presence, not the other way. They that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts, there were a lot of things happening. Some people were receptive, some people were critical, some people were questioning, a lot of people were fearful. And I think if you want to know more about that, Nikki Gumbel covers that beautifully in the Alpha book and describes those things. But what I'm going to try and say is this, don't let fear, don't even let the manifestations of the Spirit of God cause you to not allow Him to come and empower your life, because He's beautiful. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. He's precious. He knows you. He wants to come upon you, not just once, but again and again and again and again. I believe in many baptisms, and I've experienced it that my whole life. I believe also that if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, those sort of things will become evident in your life. They should naturally follow who you are, the fruit. Obviously, I believe too in Corinthians 12, 8 and 10, when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. But He can give the gifts. I've seen people functioning in the gifts, and yet they're greaty. Do you know what I mean? He wants us to function out of love. Oh, there's a whole lot more that I could talk about, and I'm just going to have to wrap that up there. I've gone well over time, and I'm sorry. Vineyard puts out a really good book called Come Holy Spirit. It's a good little book. I've got some copies of those. And we in the Vineyard Church are very passionate about inviting the Holy Spirit to come. And actually, I must say that when you are leading a service, and you're even leading in the worship, it's a real challenge actually to try and lead and disengage your mind from da 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 to hear what does the Holy Spirit want this morning? What does He actually want? And I'm doing that right now. What does He want to do? But I really feel this morning that He wants to come on us. All those songs this morning that we were singing related to the Holy Spirit, and we sang them. We're saying, we want more of you. We want more of you. Well, people, there is more. And you're listening to somebody, thank you for listening, who is hungry for more. And I've seen the Holy Spirit work in powerful ways to bring about transformation in situations that are totally almost impossible, humanly speaking. I've seen Him work in the workplace where He's brought thoughts to my mind and ideas and concepts to mind about things that I didn't even understand, and people have adopted those things. So we are carriers of His presence. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit. And I just sort of feel right now that, and it was coming through this morning during the worship, that the Father just wants to fill us again this morning. So I'm going to ask I could just so easily sit on the floor. That's how I feel. Lie on the floor and just sit in His presence, because that's what I love to do. That's the place I like to be. Not so much doing this. But I think we should invite Him to come this morning. And if you guys want to come and join me up here, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and empower you again, and to release the promises. He's given us the promise to release the promises that He's given to you, to bring about healing. The healing is almost secondary. The first thing is, and just invite Him to come and possess the land again this morning. If you're like me and you're hungry and you want more, then just come up and receive Him. I've bumbled through. I'm sorry. There's just so, I haven't said all the things that I feel is on my heart to say. But I'm inviting you to come anyway. With us, in us, and upon us. This is what Ken said about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is a gift from God the Father. He is not Jesus, but He is like Jesus. He's another. Counselor, advocate, helper, comforter. He comes alongside of us and is unique to us as followers of Jesus. He is what distinguishes us from non-believers. He had been with the 12 when Jesus was alive, but He would be with them, and then He would reside in them. He draws us into the love affair, a love affair with the Father and the Son. And you know what? He makes life better. Is that pretty cool? So, come on up, because I think He's got something for everybody this morning. I'm sorry about the time, but come on up, because I think He wants to baptize us again. He wants us to come and be filled. And He's going to impact everybody in different ways. And that doesn't matter. You hear what I'm saying? Focus on Him. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. If you're feeling dry and thirsty, if you're not feeling anything, I'd still invite you to come. Because He wants to pour His Spirit out in a fresh way on this church. And I'm going to make no apology for that. So come. We could have some music on.